Hey, listen to The Morning Show here on Raglan Community Radio. And in the studio, I've got Mike Jewell. Morning, Mike.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm all good. So, Mike, you're a local massage therapist with a special interest in longevity.
Yep.
I remembered this time.
Yep.
And today we're going to be talking about faith. So
we are.
And this is what kind of faith? Yeah, what kind of faith?
Okay.
That's an important question, I think, at this time.
Yeah, it's a good question to open with. What I'll do, which I think I do most times I come in, is I'll just give a quick, just for people listening, just a quick kind of overview of how this all fits in together.
Yeah, into longevity.
And that is that there's what we're talking about is longevity in terms of living a long life, which is also a healthy life.
Right, we're not just looking to push the numbers up.
Yeah, totally. So, and you know, long life is also a subjective thing as well. So it's not, you know, there's all sorts. Basically, how can you continue on as you age in the best way?
Yeah,
basically to whatever age that is. And there's lots of factors that have it's kind of an on-trend topic these days.
Yeah.
I'm probably, you know, being a bit trendy by even doing this, but I can swallow that. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so there's many factors that come into this long and healthy life, and there's been heaps of studies which have shown these similarities in all these the factors. So one of the factors that comes up in quite a regular way is that having faith contributes to a long and healthy life,
right.
Believe it or not.
Right.
So what I'm going to do, I've got a little blurb. I'm not overly organized for this one today, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to read this little blurb, and then I'm going to let you ask me a question.
Okay, all right, hit it.
So faith and longevity are often interconnected in both scientific and philosophical discussions. Faith, whether religious or spiritual, can have profound effects on a person's mental and physical well-being, potentially influencing their longevity.
Oh, that's it.
No. So basically, I'm going to go through a few reasons why that is.
Yeah.
I think an important part of this talk here is, or of this topic is, in that little blurb, it kind of it talked about that as faith. It's a concept rather than a hard and fast thing. So it could be a religious faith, it could be a spiritual faith, it could be just a faith in the universe, it could be, but the idea of faith is more than actually, you know, you might instantly go to the fact that you think it's a religious faith.
Well, because it comes with a lot of baggage, the word faith.
Totally.
In our society, and that's hardly surprising really. But yeah, we've got old school, we'll call it old school religion, and churches done in an old way, and then Christian faith in mainstream churches has evolved a little bit in the last few decades as well. But that's still within a church, and I'm pretty sure you want a much broader definition than a Christian church for this.
For sure. And
or any other one faith, right? You're not going to, I know you're not going to be talking about just one faith. Or is this what this is leading to, Mike? You're going to hit us with the hard sell at the end.
I'm just warming you up.
You're the Church of Mike.
I guess the thing is, it's a concept. It's a feeling of something greater than yourself.
Right.
And that can come in many forms. And, you know, you just need to travel to see that it's prevalent everywhere in the world, and everyone's got a different version. So it's around, and there's a reason why it's around, and it's proven to be a factor in your health. So I'm just going to run through a few of the things, and we'll see where it goes. But one of the things people talk about is having faith in something bigger or stronger than yourself is that it can be a stress reducer.
Mm.
And the reason this is, it talk about emotional resilience. Faith often provides a sense of purpose, hope, and meaning, helping people cope with the challenges of life. Another one thing there is that often with faith, there's often a meditative practice that comes with it, whether it is meditation or prayer or just having a reflective kind of practice, yeah, is often attached to faith, whether it's spiritual or religious or whatever form, which, as we know, is, you know, has come with big health benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
So, having providing a sense of purpose, hope, and meaning through hard times is, I think, most people can attest to. When you've been through something, having to really dig deep and think of something bigger than what's going on and think, what can that help me through this? Any thoughts on that? Have you ever had that sort of experience?
Well, the thought, I'd written a note down, which, because we live in Western culture, is dominated by Western science. Western science has a lot to say about, the culture around Western science has a lot to say about faith and religion and, you know, invisible deities they'll refer to sarcastically and things like that. So for people who've grown up in that culture, which I think is most of us, you can say, okay, I'm going to have a faith. I'm going to go and find a faith. I'm going to go and choose a faith. I don't think people would even know where to start. Am I going to go to a church? Well, they know that's not going to work for them because they'll just know if that's going to work or not. Mm.
It's a good point. And I think that even whether you're, you know, often you're not actively seeking it out, it can just come through life experience, where you can have ridden a few ups and downs through your life, and you get to a certain point or a certain age where you've been through some good times and some hard times, and then you can kind of start to build faith within that, to know that things are going to change, or that in the big picture, you know, that things will, this is all part of how life is. Or
so it's about, that's could be summed up as having faith that things will get better.
Totally.
Yeah. Because the thing, like, I'm also talking about the culture around Western science. Like, it is a faith in itself. Like, because it's an act of faith to believe that there are no spiritual forces and things like that. Like, there's no actual evidence. No one knows how you would test for that. Mm. All right. So scientifically speaking, it's pretty hard to prove or disprove either way. Mm. So it is an act of faith to predetermine that there is no spirituality and it's all made up. Inside our heads, and you said every culture has a kind of a faith in the meta. So we didn't say it quite like that, but we know that pretty much every culture that's come about on the planet has had a faith and a spiritual practice. And the mythology around Western science is that we've now evolved past that, that we are superior to that, and yet people end up, especially, you know, once we get to kind of, we're older, we've had experiences and ups and downs, and there's some aspects of our life that we can't talk about without reverting to talking about our spirit or our soul, or we don't have words to describe something that's going on in our lives or our friends and family's lives. So I don't know. It's not really a question.
No. But it's true, because it is an interesting time in that way, and that. We've kind of, science is trying, almost, it's been through a phase of trying to disprove any form of greater power or whatever words you want to give it. But then we're also kind of in a really interesting time in that way too, where science and science and spirituality are merging, where there is evidence. There's a lot of science to say all these interesting phenomenon, supernatural, or why does that happen when this happens? Or, and then there's a lot of science and that's trying to understand that as well. So with that Joe Dispenza stuff, for example, he talks a lot about, again, this is really trendy and a bit cringy, but the law of attraction,
yeah,
which you know, and if you could sum up his work in a way, that's what it is. And they've had so many interesting experiences with people doing the work and having these really interesting experiences that have on paper kind of proved what they're trying to say, that they're now doing a lot of scientific research to work out how's this actually happening.
Yeah, and the science thing is interesting. The science culture interests me because there's stories of, I was trying to think about this last night actually, there was someone who'd come up with some way of treating soil, put something in the soil and it made it much more fertile and plants grew, and I've got none of the detail about that.
Yeah.
What I remember is that this guy, he was not a scientist, he came from some different walk of life, but he'd kind of worked this out, and he was trying to get some scientists to take an interest in it. And what he found was that there were some scientists who would use it at their home, but they were not going to write a paper about it because even though you could test empirically, you could do the thing and it would work and you could do that kind of science, but the mechanism, they couldn't work out the mechanism that was causing this thing to work. And so these scientists were like, it's not worth my career to write a paper about this when we can't prove a scientific mechanism. And so they were happy to use it in their private life but not in their public life. And then someone did work out what the mechanism was, and then it was fine.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So this is, so when you're talking about, when you talk about Joe Dispenza and he's doing research and probably writing some papers, I know that, I suspect it's like that, like the actual, I don't know. When you start talking about quantum physics.
Oh, it is.
And applying it and bringing that in, that upsets some sciencey people very much.
For sure.
And so they'll say, well, and it'll be that thing where we don't really understand the mechanism, so therefore it's not proven, even though you can prove it empirically. You know, you can get a group of people and do the thing and it works. If you can't make that the mechanical connection, then a lot of our science faith won't go with it. That is science as a faith. I think for a lot of people it is a faith because you get that thing
certainty.
Where... It does give them some certainty, and I guess that's part of what you're talking about. Like, I'm a little bit critical of science as a faith, but under the context of your discussion, it actually is serving that purpose. It is giving something to a rock that your life can, that's bigger than you, and your life can not necessarily revolve around it, although it does for some, but yeah.
That's a good point. It's kind of how, whatever version of it you have, is it that you're looking for some sort of certainty or control of your life, or and I think for a lot of people, it also gives you the license to let go of control of your life.
Yeah,
is to be, you know, that kind of. I know friends that I have that are, Christians, for example, but really devoted, surrendered to God or to, you know, whatever, and just allowing that to happen. And there's some sort of, although that's personally not for me, it hasn't quite resonated for me, but for them, there's a lightness and a kind of surrender that.
Yeah, so if you call it a voluntarily surrendering rather than at the point of gun,
which
is the opposite of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the alternative to not surrendering is that you have to keep control of everything around you.
Yeah.
Well, that's one possible alternative, right? You have to control everything around you, and that's just hard work.
That's hard work.
And it's exhausting, and we get to middle age and we're like, there's got to be a better way.
because
this is wearing me out, you know, like... just having faith that things will work out, that you don't have to control everything around you. I guess that's what you're talking about.
It is, and I think that the Alan Watts stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like having that I think a lot of it is kind of having, I think it's a real a Buddhist kind of view, really, is that whole everything is happening as it should.
Mm.
And
everything's working out as the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, and so all the, you can label the goods and the bads and the, you know, the hard and the easy, and but actually if you, a lot of the work is accepting the whole lot. And I think with, you know, coming back to the whole point of the talk in terms of longevity and health, the more acceptance and surrender and to life generally, the more easeful life is and the more health you will find.
So we can expand the definition of faith to that, where it is just accepting that things will be all right and an element of surrender. So you're not even any, there's no discipline of faith or anything. It's just like having faith that things will be okay.
Yeah, I think
we can broaden
this. If I look at the work, that's kind of a recurring theme.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because my question was going to be in our science dominated culture, and I'm talking about the culture of science as well. How do we set about, if someone's out there going who recognizes, it's weird, because there's scientific evidence that having faith is good for your health. It's what you're kind of coming at us with.
Yeah.
And so, but in our science culture world where there is no spirituality, and if we've grown up in that, then how do we set about finding faith? And I see, you know, and you see people in Raglan, especially in Raglan, lots of people searching, and you see people trying things, you know.
Yeah, true.
And most of our culture has rejected, mainstream culture in New Zealand has rejected Christianity as a thing, especially because it's associated with a lot of oppression and control in a lot of people's minds. So they would try get a copy of the Quran and read that.
Right? Yeah.
It's something people do, or just lots of different things people trying. And it's almost like trying on a hat, I sometimes think. But you've got to go deeper. Like, yeah, I think. I don't know, how do you find your way to a faith, Mike? Tell us the answer.
I think there's people that search for that through. It's a lifetime search for a lot of people. That one, yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think this is the other interesting part of that is, I know I'm talking about some sort of faith in a higher purpose or something bigger than ourselves, but actually, in so many ways, the faith is in yourself. So, and then once you can kind of settle with that that belief or that feeling, the search doesn't need to continue.
Okay. A lot of people have grown up with messages in their life about that they're not a very good person, or they're not very capable, not very competent. You must have to deal with that before you can find faith in yourself or have faith in yourself. And we do certainly need to have faith in ourselves. It's a prerequisite for healthy mental life, I think. But yeah,
well, the work is, you know, the more you go through these kind of, like you say, the search or the looking for meaning or whatever, the more you realize that that it's an inside job, and the more you're reconciled and at peace and healed internally, that the more the outside will reflect that. This is going into territory. This is probably a whole nother talk.
Well, but see, this is it. Like we need, because of our science culture or our science infused culture, to talk about faith, it's quite hard. We're just trying to define the word and set the boundaries of what faith might be and what the purpose is. And since you're coming from the point of view of longevity, and so you're talking about long-term physical and mental health, then that's a touchstone to go, okay, so how does faith serve that purpose? So how does it make our life better? So then we're not, and we want to do that because we want to sidestep the whole thing about, is the Bible real or not, or is any religion real or not? And like, that's not the point of this discussion, right? To find the truth. It's not about the truth, right? It's about living, I don't use that phrase, living your best life. It's living our life the way that we need to be well, humans.
Well, that kind of and that kind of circles back to the last talk, the authenticity talk. Yeah.
So is faith part of being? If you're an authentic human being, there must be an element of faith in there.
Trust in yourself, eh?
Trust
in being completely yourself.
Yeah.
What I do have faith in, Aaron, is this green smoothie that I bought in.
Was gone now.
Yeah.
It also doesn't exist anymore.
It's now part of me.
It's now part of you. Yeah.
That was a great drink.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, why not? Why not have faith in having? Because see, we think of spiritual stuff as all the stuff that we can't see and can't touch. But why not have faith in the physical things in the world?
Well, this again, that's a whole nother topic which we could, you know, expand on. But yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, well, like there's a hard line there, isn't there? That like if it the unseen. Is the spiritual stuff and the materialistic is just the materialistic stuff and that's base, you know?
Yeah.
But if we came from a spiritual place and we're put here in a material world, surely the material stuff is actually important. Not just necessary to live, but actually maybe it's an important part of the process. I don't know, I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah, well I guess the material is the manifestation of the energetic. So it's all one energy. Everything's one energy, and it's manifesting in all these different ways into physical form.
So are you talking quantum physics, or are you talking spiritual?
Well, yeah. They're kind of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I set that answer up.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I just remembered this story. Actually, this has just come to my mind from. Just putting this in context of a real life story is I had this client, massage therapy client, come in last year. She was an American woman, and she told me this story. She was a Christian. She'd been biking in the South Island with a friend, and they'd biked up some massive mountain range, and she had missed a corner and fallen off a sheer cliff.
Oh yeah.
And she said she was falling in midair, and it was so far down she couldn't see the bottom.
Mm.
And she said in that moment, well, she had a Christian faith, so that she, you know, that was her kind of higher power.
Yeah.
And she said in that moment, as she was falling, time stopped, and she said she just got this message from God.
Mm.
Saying there was two things she said. One said that it's not your time.
Yeah.
And the other one was that everything is perfect.
Mm.
And then she said she was just falling, going, okay, well, let's see what happens. And then she said she hit halfway down, she hit a knuckle of, like, you know, the cliff was poking out as a knuckle, and she hit that and broke her back, and then started twisting and falling again. And then she said again, it was so far down she didn't see the bottom. And she said at that point she just surrendered to everything.
Mm.
And then this is her version of the story. And then she said she got laid down gently on the bottom and then helicoptered out and survived.
Obviously she survived.
Yeah. She survived.
Yeah. Yeah. And our rational science culture world wants to say, oh, she's imagined it, you're making it up, like all sorts of explanations. But if you go looking, there are so many people with stories like that.
For
and
sure.
they seem to tell you.
Man, honestly, I want to, honestly, Aaron, one day I need to write a book from the amazing, insane stories I've heard through massage therapy clients coming in.
Mm.
And like, I don't know how you would ever do that with confidentiality and all the rest of it, but there's so many miracles.
Yeah. So there's something about the massage therapy process, but also I'd say about you as well, that people feel safe to tell those stories or feel able to tell those stories because you are a stranger. Oh, I suppose, well, no, because people come to you regularly, so.
Yeah.
So might be fourth or fifth time that they tell you these things, or is it often first
time? I just want to go back and clarify this. What I'm saying in terms of the stories I hear is not about the results from the treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
just the people that come and their stories.
While they're
Their life stories.
They tell you this.
Yeah. And so this often these stories, we've just seen each other once.
Right, okay.
And these stories will unfold, you know, even in the sit-down before we start.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. You've created an environment that encourages that.
Yeah, it's just an awesome...
I mean, that's not the kind of thing where they're going to rush in here and say, Aaron, get me on the radio. I want to tell everyone about this.
No.
Because they know what our culture is like.
That's it.
In terms of that. But one thing that's coming through in this discussion with me about this having faith is a little about giving up control, maybe.
Mm.
And because if there is no higher power, then what's to stop everything going wrong? And you've got to, and that means you need to exercise a lot of control over your environment around you. And that's an exhausting way to live your life, and it's not certainly not a satisfying way to live your life. Mm. And so I guess in attempts to explain what faith is, it's certainly the opposite of that. It's certainly not that anyway.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
In terms of it's faith is not controlling, yeah.
Yeah. And I just had this interview with Master Sun Yung, who's coming to Raglan.
Oh.
And on the weekend.
See the guy that healed himself?
He's back, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I went to a session that he had in the town hall when he came here a couple months ago. And he was doing this thing, people are doing this, it's like there's a physical meditation and then there's a lot of physical stuff to do.
Mm.
And he keeps looking at us and he's going, too serious. And then smiles, he's trying to get everyone to relax. And these things, he's like, you think you've come here to get important information from me, you know, and you can imagine someone turning up to a workshop
with
notes and taking notes. And he says, that's completely not what he's doing.
Yes.
And in fact, the interview is challenging because he's not going to give a big, long explanation for any of this stuff, because the whole point of what he does, he calls it brain training, is not to get into the details and the weeds.
Right.
And explain everything to the nth degree.
Mm.
You know, it's not about that. It's about what you're doing.
Mm.
And...
Mm.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
it's I think that's the thing, isn't it? Because we're so cerebral in our life that it's just we're in our own way all the time. And the more we can get out of our own way, the more we can just observe everything unfolding. And there's a cool, you know, we've been talking about this recently, but there's. Everything in life, it's happening. Everything is happening, like it or not. And the more you think about it or try and control it, it's not going to. It's happening. So, it's a more gentle way is to observe everything happening than to try and control it.
Mm. And it doesn't. Yeah, all I keep coming back to is trying to control everything's exhausting.
Yeah,
it can wear you out, or you need to have some really powerful motivation to keep doing it, which is usually probably a dysfunctional motivation, like a desperate need to keep everything under control.
Yeah, well, you always hear these stories. I know I listen to this lots of this interview in particular with Bon Iver, the musician.
Oh yeah,
Bon Iver.
Oh, Bonnie, I've heard him. It's Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
But I think I heard it when you used to do a show. And okay. I was calling him Bon Iver, and then I heard him talking. I was like, uh-oh.
Bon Iver. Yeah. And he was talking about, like, he, you know, in his younger years when he was kind of, you know, he'd always been a musician, and all he ever wanted to do was be a musician. He is just so into music, so passionate about music, had a couple of bands, trying to, you know, do it all, and then he just, you know, he wasn't quite cracking it, and it was kind of a grind, and then he was, you know, he'd lose motivation, but that's all he wanted to do. And then he said at one moment, he went, okay, it's not kind of happening how I wanted it to, and that's fine, I'm gonna go and be a music teacher at a high school. I'm happy with that, that's great, I still get to, you know, live my dream.
It's something
on some level. And he said, literally in that moment, when he just surrendered to it and just went, I can't control this, it's what it is, that he started, he got a phone call from someone. and the rest was what it is.
Yeah, there are people who teach that that's kind of what happens. And you do hear lots of stories like that.
Yeah.
Where when I'd given up, it suddenly happened.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Surfing's a good one. You know, you're like, you've been trying to get waves all the whole surf and you're hustling around, you get a couple, and then you're finally like, ah, I'll just get one, and then it hasn't been that good a surf, and you're just like, oh, and then you're just so relaxed and you just get the most perfect wave on the way in.
You've got to have faith in the waves. The surfing must teach you, it must teach you something like that, like, because you're not in control. Mm. You can only ride the wave when it comes, and you just have to be ready and obviously in the right mindset from what you're saying.
I think, yeah, Jerry Lopez, he's this legendary Hawaiian surfer guy from, he'd be close to 80 now, but he was an amazing, he was the first guy to kind of master the wave pipeline in Hawaii, which is the big, heavy, barreling, dangerous wave.
Yeah.
And he's talked a lot about it, but he merged yoga practice and philosophy and surfing, and that's how he mastered this wave, by just being able to surrender to the power of it through those things.
Yeah. You'd have to be in the zone. I mean, sports people talk about being in the zone, is where you're not thinking, you're not using your conscious mind to run it, you're using your subconscious mind, which is much more effective. It's much more powerful.
Yeah.
When it comes to that sort of thing, you get your timing is much better and things like that. And I imagine that's part of what was going on there, because your timing and your reflexes would have to be perfect to master something like that.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm just looking at the time.
Yeah.
And I might be, we might be, there's so much more on this topic. We might have to do season two, episode two.
Okay. I mean, this is where we get to the religion of Mike, the church of Mike.
there's none of that.
This is the one true way.
This is the one true way.
Yeah. All right, folks, we have been talking to Mike Jewell, and we're talking about longevity. Every few weeks Mike comes in, and today we're talking about faith and desperately trying to define it, really, for the purpose of the discussion, for two people who may not know that much about it or have that much experience with it.
So episode two, in, I guess, a month's time.
No, because that's like the 31st of December.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it'll be a couple of months.
In a couple of months' time, we'll be talking about how faith creates community and social support. How faith...
Oh, you had more stuff there. Oh, okay.
Creates...
I didn't realize.
Is a way of... It promotes healthier lifestyles, believe it or not. So there's all sorts of health... recommendations in faith-based living, positive mindset and resilience. There's a topic here on scientific evidence, which we've kind of been talking about. And then just a philosophical perspective on life. So there's still more to go.
I didn't realize there was so much. I might have structured things a bit differently instead of indulging myself in my own thoughts.
No. That's the purpose of the
conversation. The way it is. True. Yeah. All right, Mike. Thanks heaps for coming in.